My name is Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I have with me Katrina and Sarah. They're the co-founders of GynZone. And I wanted to do a video with them. We're doing a series of just their services and why it's important for perineal repair education. But I wanted, just my bias being the passion of the business side of midwifery, I wanted them to tell the story of like why they started this company, what were the challenges, so we can inspire other midwives when they see a need to fill it. So go ahead, whoever would like to speak first. If Sarah wants to speak first, since she's the main clinician by the company and started it first.
Yeah, and thank you for this opportunity, Leslie. Well, we started GynZone because there was a need in the market for online learning tools. I was trained as a midwife 25 years ago, and I graduated in a time where I was taught by the midwife who was learning me how to suture. So I learned her technique and I started questioning, is this right? Is it evidence-based? Why is somebody else doing something different? So I started digging into the field of surgical skills and becoming more knowledgeable about the differences and the different suture techniques and different suture materials. So I was evidence-based challenged because there might not be all this evidence about why we should choose certain techniques or materials. So part of me dug into the evidence and I did a large research project, randomized trials, lots of this. But I also started the business out of a need to communicate and to be able to continually update the knowledge that we have as midwives. Because if you have a textbook and you stick to the textbook for 25 years, you don't update any skills at all. So GynZone was founded out of a need to update and being curious about techniques and tactical skills.
So and I'm going to add my little plug that you're probably the only midwife in the world that has a PhD in suturing. So if someone wants to learn from the best of the best, you are it.
Yeah, actually a few now, but it's mainly a medical field occupied by doctors, and they're very interested in the anal sphincter repair, which is fortunately only applicable for a small amount of women, but most women will have labia tears or second degree tears that we as midwives in Scandinavia are taught how to repair. So I thought there was an unmet need, and actually we wanted to do this business as a free model so everybody could sign up and have free online content. But we soon discovered that we needed money to fund the English translation and the Norwegian translation and the continuous updates. So we developed a business model where everybody contributes a small amount of money, either by personal subscription or by a multi-user license for institution. And such we can update materials continuously. We have a small business, we are two employees, and then we have a bunch of nice co-workers that we can hire on a daily basis when we are updating or translating. So yeah, it's very operational and smooth as a business.
Well, and I think that's the Achilles of being midwives. We have the love and passion, but we don't really understand like creating fee schedules and the overhead expenses something costs to actually make where they're innocent. We're like, we want to save the world. We want to give free care to everybody. And then we don't realize, well, like this isn't the backdrops. This isn't the backdrop. So I think that's the biggest reality midwives have when they want to do a business venture is the true overhead administration business costs and the backdrops, and how do you make that affordable? So I think especially doing an online platform, you can spread it out to many, many people versus a class. You really only have so many people on site and available. So yeah, being online, you really can make it affordable and to the entire world access. So thank you for starting this 2008, correct?
And we were actually funded also by funds from the Danish Ministry of Health and Innovation. So as I handle in my PhD and found the key component to excellent perineal repair is that the midwife or the doctor loves what they're doing. If they said, I like what I do and I know what I do, it was an excellent result, even though you could choose between continuous and interrupted stitches and different suture materials. So the key factor is that people like what they do, and then they're usually good at it. That's like asking your colleagues, do you like to drive a car? If you do, you're pretty good at it. If you don't like driving a car, you should probably not do it at all. And that's the same with surgical skills. So we had a funding program that actually handled in money after my PhD, so we could start up a small business. And the key was to make an export of Danish knowledge. And that is where we are 13 years after.
Yeah. So you got investors, like we think of traditional way in the United States of getting investors, a bank or a private, because we're exchanging, here's the profits you can make to make this happen. You did the research and you showed the value to the government and the nonprofit organizations of the impact it will have to women. So I think that's another pointer to put in. There's always opportunity. There's always funding. If you show the value, whether it's research, it's the profits, what does that person want to make that win-win situation happen? So amazing.
And if you're lucky to live in a community where government support women's health and innovation, and that is the situation in Scandinavia, we try to build up export by investing in ideas and knowledge.
Yeah, very cool. So Katrina, how did you get in the mix? Like, this was the beautiful Sarah idea and birth child of suturing. How did you come into the picture?
Well, we're founded in 2008, at which point I did not know about GynSewn. I'm a Master of Science in IT, and for my specialization in university, I specialized in virtual tuition, virtual training. And my sister-in-law is a midwife, and she caught both of my sons way back. So when I was looking for jobs, she said, you should have a cup of tea with my colleague, Sarah. She does something electronic. So I had a cup of tea with Sarah, and that's now a bit more than 10 years ago. So we immediately clicked, both professionally, but also, I guess, on some sort of feminist level. So I'm the technical outfit, and Sarah is the clinical mastermind behind what it is that we do. So when someone needs to design functionality for a website, Sarah will say, I wanted to do this. And then I can interpret to the programmers and say, I know what Sarah means, and this is what you need to build. Because usually when you have a lot of things can be lost in translation between clinical people and technical people. So I'm sort of the go-between.
Well, and I think it's important to stress, midwives have this in the United States in particular, we have to be the experts at everything. If we hire someone, we are solo, especially private practice, we do our own thing, we're out there fighting the fight. And I'm trying to get this shift of like being a business owner, leverage the experts. Like I'm sure Sarah had this beautiful idea, but then the level you brought because of your expertise and skill set, we don't have to have midwives all in our business. We want the experts that maybe have an advocacy for it and understand it, but they have this expertise, you in the IT side. So how have you guys evolved? Like what hiccups came up and how did you grow from them?
Well, first of all, we had great ideas and we ran out of money. So we were almost bankrupt 2 years after we started because we had more ideas that we could fund. And then we went actually into the private business angels network in the surroundings and said, we have a beautiful idea. We are not business women, but we want you to invest in women's health globally. And we were lucky to find people who knew more about business and scaling up business than we did. So we had a professional board helping us. And what is it called? Well, business angels network.
Yeah.
All the time, I could say that, because I'm a midwife and I love to be nerdy about suturing things, but I don't know much about VAT regulations in Europe and whatnot. So we had to team up with partners who knew their stuff so that we could focus on what we're experts in. And luckily we found local manufacturers of websites and all the technical things that you also need to be engaged in for your business to be running. Because we want to deliver online learning globally 24 hours a day. And we can't be woken up by phones from India calling saying, I can't log in. We needed automation of these kind of things. So we...
You want someone local, you want someone that knows your stuff and reinforcing, like a lot of businesses struggle in the beginning, having that good foundation and having like your mission and values is so strong that you're like, I'm going to beat these hurdles. It's too important versus, you know, I just tried this side venture. It seemed fun. Like I think as midwives, we have such resilience that we know the impact if we could just figure it out.
And we also had huge support by midwifery communities globally. So the ICM asked us if we could do workshops during some of our international conferences, and they let us speak at the conferences. And even obstetricians engaged in this business model because they wanted to learn how to suture second degree tears and third degree tears as well. And they were taught on a model like, you see one, do one, and now you can do one and teach other people. And they felt inadequate and insecure. And we talk about psychological security at work right now in Denmark so that we feel relaxed and comfortable with what we're doing. And we were facing huge challenges because midwives and doctors were fearing how to do perineal repair and if it affected women's lives negatively for a long time period. So we were also at the right time, at the right place, delivering the services when the need was there.
Yeah. And even just me talking more to Katrina, the impact you've made, not just on the clinical skills of the direct suturing, it's the educational, like you talked about the psychological aspect, the barriers, the quality measures, the competencies, that it's a shift in culture of like, we can't ask each other for help. Like we are all continuously learning, and how do we're all here for the patients, like reinforcing and redirecting it. So I think you guys have made such an amazing cultural shift in Denmark and in the European countries. And we just need to get that expanded to the rest of the world. And so I'm very excited and fortunate to have met you both. Is there anything else with the business side you want to give some tips before we end this video to inspire other midwives? If they have ideas, they're thinking about certain things, what would you say to them?
Just do it. Don't think too much. Don't make expensive business models and analyze for 10 years whether there's a market or not. Go ahead and try it out. If there's no market or you're not a businesswoman, you can close all the things within 2 minutes anyway. I think we are obligated to deliver this service because we have so many users. So even though we couldn't make a lot of money, we will keep on doing it because 15,000 people are watching our films. So now we think we're part of the revolution within women's health as well. And it has turned positively into a nice business model so that we can continue the learning and we get a salary every month and we can hire the people that we need on our way. But we didn't know this as we started. Actually, we were almost bankrupt. So sometimes you just need to go ahead and do it and do it and do it. And have partners who do support you both privately and financially.
That's great. Anything else, Katrina?
Yeah, having worked with midwives for quite a few years now, even I don't have the background myself, I think one of the major strengths of midwives is that you're excellent at implementing. You act, you do things. And if it didn't work that way, we will turn her around and get the shoulder out the other way. And if you can harness that go get, try things, see what works attitude, and spend less time planning and more time doing, I think you're off to a good start.
Well, I think that's perfect. Well, thank you both for your time today. And I'm so excited to expand more into the United States.
Welcome.